Amen. Thank you, brother. Well, we're on page number 23. See, my page numbers are different here, so I have to ask you what page we're on. All right. Page number 23. And we're on number 17. All right. That's always the same. Number 17. Why were Adam and Eve driven out of the garden? Why were they driven out of the garden? Huh?
Sin.
Well, sin, but why were they driven out of the garden? The garden was paradise, wasn't it? Remember the word paradise. It comes from the Persian word paradise. It goes into Hebrew paradise, and it comes all the way. The word Pharisees and all of that comes from this word. Paradise means a guarded pleasure park. It came into Greek, paradiso, and then in English. But God made a paradise, and He put Adam in that paradise. And He told him to take care of it and to guard it. Well, Adam didn't do it, but there was something. There were two very important trees in that garden that we have discussed about before. What were the two important
trees?
The tree of knowledge. The tree of knowledge of good and evil. And that was the one they weren't supposed to. And what? The tree of life. And that tree of life, God did not want them to live forever in a sin-laden bodies. Just think about it yourself now. We're all sinners, aren't we? Most of us are saved in here. Probably maybe all of us are saved that are in the class. But how would you like to live forever in this body?
No.
I don't want to. I mean, I want a better one. I want a better one. And God's going to make a better one for me, all right? He's going to make a better body for me. All right. So He drove them out of the garden to keep them from living forever in sinful bodies. That's the answer. So on number 17, to keep them from eating of the tree of life and living forever in sinful bodies. Okay. Number 18. The first child born to Adam and Eve was what? Cain. What's his name mean? Gotten. When Cain was born, Eve says, "We have gotten a man, even the Lord." She thought he was the Messiah. All right? And the one that they thought was the Messiah killed another child. All right? And the second born was Abel. All right? Now, Abel means gotten, but what does... I mean, Cain means gotten, but what does Abel mean? Do you remember what that means? It comes from a Hebrew word. It means vapor or mist. Remember, the earth was watered by a vapor or mist at that time, wasn't it? And also, it means green pasture.
What?
Green pasture. That's what Abel means, all right? Now, see there? You're getting something new down there, aren't you? I think, maybe. All right.
Green pasture.
Green pasture. Because that's the way that God watered it, was by a vapor or a mist. And also, it means brevity. His life was going to be short. All right? All right. Now, number 19. Number 19. Give the occupation of each offering that they brought to God. Now, we studied this a little bit before, too. Now, Cain was a tiller of the ground. All right? His name is Gotten. He's a tiller of the ground. And what did he bring as an offering? Huh? Some kind of fruit from the ground. The opposite of what he was supposed to do. He was going to do it his way. Man-made religion always wants to do it their way. That's just the way it is. Now, just think about this. The ground. Now, when God, the curse in Genesis 3, the third chapter, when God cursed, He cursed the snake. Didn't he? Because he was really, the snake got cursed himself. Now, he only loaned his body to Lucifer. But he was cursed also because he loaned his body. The animal kingdom evidently has some type or some sort of volition also. I don't understand all about that. There's some things in the Bible that we don't know. And there's not enough evidence in the Bible. All I can say is that animals do have a choice. There is a volition in them. I don't know how much... how far this goes, but that volition and that snake, and his name was what in Hebrew?
Nahash.
That means deceiving serpent. That cursed him all the way through the millennium. Look over here. The snake's still going to crawl on its belly, and The curse on the snake was that he would eat his food crawling on his, or walking on his belly is literally what it says. Walking on his belly. Now that's going to last for quite a while. Now, God cursed the woman. He cursed her with a... she would run after her husband. And she would be cursed in multiple childbirths and multiple pain. A lot of pain with it. All right. And Adam was cursed in what way? He'd have to work harder than he ever did before because the ground was cursed because of him. So the ground is cursed, isn't it? Now, let's go back and look at Cain now. He's a tiller of the ground, and what did he bring as an offering? Fruit from a cursed ground. Fruit from a cursed ground. It's a cursed offering is what he brought. Not only that, he brought the wrong amount. It says you didn't divide it correctly. And that's where we get the word tithe all the way back in, even in the garden.
It's also something that he grew, and his brother brought something that God gave.
That's right. God gave life to that to those animals that Abel brought. Now, Abel, which means brevity, vanishing vapor, or a green pasture. That's what Abel means. Now, he's a keeper of sheep, and he brought what? The firstling, or in other words, probably what he brought was a firstborn male of his flock. Now, let's look at number 20 and see what it says. Which offering was accepted? The offering from the cursed ground, a cursed offering of the wrong amount, or Abel's offering? Which one was?
The blood sacrifice.
The blood sacrifice, because what did Abel's sacrifice represent?
Jesus.
It represented, ultimately, the sacrifice that God the Son would make on the cross of Calvary. All right. Let's keep on going now. Now, number 20 says it was a kind that offering that Abel brought was a kind that represented the spilled blood or the shed blood of Jesus Christ that was to come. That's what it was supposed to represent. It was a picture of the pre-incarnate Christ when he would become in flesh and die on the cross of Calvary. Number 21. And Cain gotten killed Abel. And it was not just killed him. He was so angry that he did what we call an overkill. He kept on slashing. After he was dead, he kept stabbing him because he did it in hate. And here we have the first religious persecution in the history of the world. Right here. We have false religion. Yes, Brother Brett.
How do we know he
didn't slay him? He used the same thing to slay him that they slay the animals with. All right, it was a knife of some sort. I don't know whether it was an obsidian knife or a bronze knife or whatever it was. But whatever they used it to slay, when they would slay a sheep or whatever for an offering, he was slayed by this same type of thing. And not only, but it was in the PL stem, which was in like imperfect tense in Greek. Okay? And what do you do in the imperfect tense? He just kept on killing and kept on stabbing and kept on stabbing him. Alright. Alright, now, Cain killed Abel, and what curse was placed upon Cain now? Now let's look at the justice of God. Just let's look at it for a minute. What curse was placed upon Cain?
Guilt.
What?
Guilt.
Guilt?
Had to leave the garden.
Well, he was having trouble putting guilt on Cain because Cain was just laying it on somebody else. He said, "Where's your brother, Abel?" And he says, "Am I my brother's keeper?" Of course we are. He was fighting God. Combating God. We'll find a man later on in the lineage that his name means to fight God. Or, yes.
Wasn't the verse that he was going to serve his descendants were going to serve his servants?
No. Mm-hmm. That the curse. In the book it says that. I have to give you just a little bit of background on this book, The Bible in 8 Ages. Now it throws you a curve now and then, and Southern Baptists Southern Baptists were in the South during the Civil War, and they believed in slavery. All right? And the Southern Baptists, many of them were in the Ku Klux Klan and all of this stuff, and they believed in servants. And they taught for many, many years, and they still teach in some of those churches. My teachers taught this. And they're what we call white power and all this. You know, this is a deal. Now, I'm telling you the truth about this. Now, this guy that wrote this book believes that the curse that was placed upon Cain was that they were going to be servants to everybody. But the opposite happened. So we know that wasn't the curse. All right? We're going to see another curse later on, and he brings it in also, and he brings it in that. And they believe in segregation. And he'll bring that out in the book also. So just read it with a grain of salt sometimes. Brother Brett.
Didn't he curse to that certain land up there in Jesus' day?
All right. Now, that's the answer to the question. Cain, the ground which he said, look what I have done. Now, you curse the ground, because God told Adam, by the sweat of your nostrils, as he's over there digging and killing all the weeds and stuff, this is when they came. Now, Cain, the ground is going to be double cursed. So what did Cain do? Just think about it for a while. What did Cain do to overcome that double curse? Remember what he did? His descendants?
Made slaves.
They originated slavery. They became slave owners because then they didn't have to work, but their slaves would have to work. And that's what they did. Nimrod and all that kind of stuff. That's all, you know, all of this, that was slavery also. Let's go on a little bit further. Then it says in verse 22, it says, by the way, that Cain killed Abel, and what curse was placed upon him? He was cursed. The ground was double cursed because of him, and he became a fugitive and a vagabond, and he became nomadic. But they started the slave trade business. Number 22, a mark was placed upon Cain to keep people from killing him, and vengeance would be taken sevenfold on anyone who killed him. All right, now I don't know what that mark was. Neither does anybody else. If you ask these Southerners, they're going to say they were black. Okay? But we don't know what that mark was. We just don't know what it doesn't tell us what it was. But a mark was placed upon him, okay? Whatever the mark was, I don't know.
It says
But so they could tell him, they could tell who Cain was, and they weren't supposed to kill him. And I'm sure here was the first murder that took place. What do you think? Did you think that was front page news? What do you think? Cain killed Abel, his brother. Everybody knew about it. So when they knew, and guess who all of these people were on the earth? They were all relatives. And what was the first thing Cain was a killer, so what was he worried about? Getting killed. And he was the only one who ever killed anybody. But he's worried about getting killed, Brother David.
You just answered my question.
Okay. He was a killer. You know, when a thief is robbed, they're really unhappy. Aren't they? They're really unhappy. So let's go on and look at this a little bit more. And now we come on down to number 23. Seth was the third son of Adam and Eve. Now, I don't know whether he was the third son or not, to tell you the truth, because they had many children. But Seth was a replacement. For his name means Seth, and it means what?
Substitute
or replacement. That's what his name means. Okay? The book is a very good book. It's one of the greatest books that I've ever seen written on the purposes of God and everything else. But there are places that are a little bit flawed in it. Okay? Because they just make some dogmatic statements sometimes. Now, who was the heir of the priesthood in Adam's family? Who was the heir?
Cain
was the heir. Now, the second born child was Abel. Was Abel ever a threat to Cain at all? No. He was no threat to Cain at all. So he was never a threat to him that way. The only thing about it is Cain, the firstborn, which they thought was the Messiah. Now, I believe what God was allowing to happen here is to show them how terrible their sin was of rebellion. Because the first child they had would be a murderer. A murder is one of the capital crimes in the Bible. That's capital. Capital means relating to the head. They are to be executed. This is the first capital crime in the Bible, and they banished him. All right. Zeth was the third son, or at least the replacement of Cain as the heir, but Abel as the person. Okay? He became the heir. Cain had disqualified himself from heirship when he murdered his brother. How could he be the priest if he was a murderer? All right? All right. Two sons of Adam and Eve began two lines of people which composed the only races of their time. They were known as the Zethites and the Cainites. All right, the Zethites and the Cainites. Now, through the line of Zeth, this is what we call the faith line, okay? And they're sometimes referred to as the faithful and the evil lines. Now, the descendants of Zeth are also referred to as the sons of God. Now, there are two different views of Genesis 6 chapter. Let's go there. Now, he's taken one view, and it used to be the view that I just absolutely tenaciously and dogmatically held on to. I've learned a lot of things since then. I keep learning. I became a student. I earned two doctorates, and all I did was learn how to learn. That's all. Now, if you go to seminary or go to college and that's all you ever learn, you're nothing but a cesspool. Now, Dr. John, it takes a lot to get a doctorate, doesn't it? Do you have to keep taking refresher courses all the time? You go back? Always learning. You have to keep on learning. All right? Well, I've tried to do that. Genesis 6 and 1. Let's have some. Are you in Genesis 6 and 1? Young man, have you got that, Genesis 6 and 1? Could you read that for us?
When men began to increase in number on the earth and daughters were born to them, the sons of God saw that the daughters of men were beautiful, and they married any of them they chose.
Now, I'm going to tell you something one time. I had a surprise birthday party. Some of you are with that, the surprise birthday party. It was such a surprise to me, I didn't know it was my birthday party, and it was over with. I mean it. Dr. Susan Hume. Brother, were you there at that party? How many of you were there at that party? I know some of you were. All right. I walked into that house and I'm so bashful. Really, I am. I went to the end, way out there, and here's Roger and Phil there and they're all of them. I said, what's everybody doing at my... They told me it was my Sunday school party. Almost didn't go. Because I am really bad. Well, I come up here and all these people are in here like this, and so I go over there and get over there in the corner of the kitchen. I sit down over there, and Dr. Susan says, Dr. Phillips, no. Come in here and sit at the head of the table in the dining room. And Brother Bill, the little mean boy over here, the bad boy, Texas bad boy, he's always giving me a lot of PR. So there's another doctor there in the house, Dr. Missick. Remember that? And Brother Bill says to this doctor, he says, there is no question that you can answer, ask him in the Bible that he can't answer. That's what he said. Isn't that right, Bill? Did you say that?
You answered it.
Well, I didn't answer it either. I skirted around it because I didn't want to answer it. He looks up at me and he says, who is B'nai Elohim? Like that. And I just said, well, I'll tell you who Elohim is. That's the triune God, the creator of all the heavens and the earth. And I didn't tell him anything about B'nai Elohim. I didn't want to discuss it at that moment. Then later on, he invites me out for lunch. He said, I have a lot more things I want to talk to you about. And he came to the class lot. He still comes in here every now and then. And he's a doctor. He works in emergency medicine at the Heart Hospital and everything.
He came to this class for a long time.
He was in the class. He still comes when he can. He works a lot. He's just about getting off enough time to go to church, and that's about all right now. Anyway, we were over there at the the double tree. I sat down there, and he sits down right by me, right on my left side where I can hear. See, I only hear on my left ear, so he sits down on the left side so he knows I can hear him. And he said, what about this B'nai Elohim business? And I said, well, I didn't want to ask you that question. I said, it's talking about the sons of God. He said, yeah. I like that. And I said, well, I don't know about it all about it. I know about it. I just tell you this. Now, that there were sons of God saw the daughters of men were beautiful, and they took wives to themselves, whomever they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man forever, because he is also flesh. Nevertheless, his days shall be 120 years. Now, what was that prophecy of? Was man supposed to live 120 years? A lot of people say that. Is that what it's talking about?
Until Noah.
What?
Until Noah.
Noah would. How long would Noah build the ark? 120 years. And he said, I'm going to give him 120 years to repent. Now, there are two different opinions of this. And the one opinion Dr. L.D. Foreman gives you in the book. And he tells you that these were not angels. Now, how many of you have heard of the book of Enoch? How many of you ever heard any of the rabbinical writings? These are the rabbis in the Old Testament. All of the rabbis say one thing. And the book of Enoch says one thing. He names the angels. Matter of fact, Enoch, if you read the book of Enoch, he names the angels that did this. He gives their name. All right? Now, of these two opinions, I don't know which one of these is right. But as I get older and as I studied more, I think more that maybe it was the angels instead of the faith line that we're talking about. Brother Bill.
Jim, I you know how my mind works. I've been doing some thinking on
it. Yeah, I know you.
That when you got me off on it.
Uh-huh.
And the thing that keeps coming to my mind when I look at the two theories that makes me lean towards the two that separated Seth and his line and mm-hmm. rather than the angels was this. But Jesus said, when you die, you will be like the angels. You would be neither given in marriage.
The angels in heaven, weren't they?
Yeah.
Well, those are the ones that remained in heaven.
Yeah, there will be no marriage in heaven. Yeah. So that tells me...
Those angels obey God, so there is no marriage in heaven,
yeah,
is there?
They don't reproduce.
But the other ones didn't obey God.
Yeah.
All right? They didn't obey God. Okay? There we have it. And I used that for a lot of time. And Tony and Hernando, didn't I used to teach that? Dogmatically, I taught that.
It also makes reference in Jude 6 and 7.
Yeah. Jude 6 and 7. What does Jude 6 and 7 say, brother?
It says, and the angels which kept not themselves clean, but left their own administration, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under gloom unto the judgment of the great day.
Okay, now let's go to verse 4. Young man, you still there in verse 4? Genesis 6 and verse 4? What does Genesis 6 and verse 4 say? The Nephilim? Yeah.
Were on the earth in those days, and also afterwards. When the sons of God went to the daughters of men and had children by them, they were the heroes of old men of renown.
All right, they were famous men, they were great people. The book of Enoch says they were gigantic people. Now, during this period of time, Enoch, and I don't know, I know that the book of Enoch is inspired of God, but how much of it? I don't know. We have never had anybody go down and really check the book of Enoch like they have the rest of the Bible, because the book of Enoch was lost for a long time. The early church writers wrote about the book of Enoch, but it was lost. Now, it is the most copied book in the Dead Sea Scrolls. That is the book that's copied more than any other book, is the book of Enoch. Yes.
Jim, my study Bible says that another interpretation of that is that the sons of God were the descendants of Seth, and the daughters of men were the descendants of Cain.
Yes.
Who married amongst each other, which created sin.
Yeah. Now, that's what L.D. Foreman is talking about. The godly man marrying ungodly men marrying godly daughters or whatever, you know, and then they mingle together. But there's a problem with that. What does the Nephilim, what are they? What is a Nephilim? Nephilim are called fallen ones. In Jude, what does it say there?
It says in verse 6.
Yeah, in Jude.
Yeah, it says, and the angels which kept not themselves clean, but left their own administration, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under gloom under the judgment of the great day.
All right. Now, there's two theories. I'm going to give them both to you. You just, whichever one suits you, you can have it. All right. One of them is, and it's in the book, and it's in your study guide, that these were the daughters of men and the sons of God and the daughters of men. And the sons of God married ungodly women, and they were messed up. The other theory is that the rabbis, the Book of Enoch, and all of the old writings quote. There's more evidence for that than there is the other, to tell you the truth. There's more evidence to support that these were angels marrying with or cohabiting with women than there is that they were the lines, two lines. And I, like I said, I used to believe that. And I'm still not sure that it's not right. But at least I have to show you the other evidence, okay? The other evidence. Now, what happened right after this? What took place right after this? 120 years later, what happened? God killed every human being on the earth except for Noah's descendants, because he was found what? Pure and righteous. His descendants. Now, this is what Enoch says, and this is what the rabbis say. You take the rabbinical writings, they're going to tell you what I'm telling you right now. Every one of those people were killed. Now, when they came in the land of Canaan, the Philistines there was one great big dude. And what did God tell Israel to do when they went in the land? Kill every man, woman, and child. And all of their animals. That's something. Clean house. Totally. Clean house. Because maybe it was contaminated again after that period of time. And how many of you saw the movie by Chuck Messler called the Nephilim? Well, how many of you seen it? I showed it in the class one time.
Okay.
If you want to see that movie, I'll show it to you again. But some of you have seen that movie. It's interesting. Because Chuck Messler goes into the rabbinical writings and all that stuff. And he even equates, in the last days, he equates the flying saucers. You know, I knew a guy very, very close. His name was Bill Moore. He was a movie star and he did a lot of stuff. If you go out there to Taft, he's a narrator at the Taft Museum of all the Taft oil fields, El Dorado days and all that stuff. But he would also work for the Air Force. He was the person that they put under to take pictures of flying saucers. And he took some pictures of them. He said they're real. He doesn't believe. He thinks it's something the United States has. Secret weapon or something. That's what he came up with. Because he didn't believe in God. Or anything, or demons, or anything like that. Chuck Messler says he thinks it is demonic materializations. All of this stuff. I mean, the demons can do a lot of things, don't they? We have people in seances that quote something happened 700 years ago. Now, demons, they aren't like we are. We live in one age and time, don't we? We live in our lifetimes. These demons, that these spirits have been alive ever since God created them before He created the earth. So they can quote anybody or whatever, anybody that ever lived, and tell you what happened. People that do these crime searches and things like that, you have to be real careful with that, because I believe a lot of that is demonic. It is spiritual. All right. Well, anyway, in 120 years, all of them were killed. I thought I'd throw that one in there for good measure. Okay? Dogmatically, L.D. Foreman says that these are just two races of man, the wicked race and the good race, the ones that the Zethites and the Canaanites, all right? Now let's go down to number 24. Cain dwelt in the land of what?
Nod.
What does Nod mean? What does Nod mean? How many of you know? Well, I know you guys know it, and Marilyn knows it, and what does the word Nod mean in Hebrew? Brother Mike, you remember that? You don't? Nod means wandering. That's what it means. The land of wandering. Okay? Cain dwelt in the land of wandering and knew his wife. Now, where did he? Now, one of the questions that people always ask: where did Cain get his wife? You ever heard that question? Have you ever asked that question? Where did Cain get his wife? Where did he get his wife? Is he the one of his sisters or one of his what? Cousins, aunts, uncles, whatever. I mean, whatever. You know. I mean, they're Eve could have had 1,000 children. Okay. She could have had 1,000 children.
Let me check on my screen.
I hope I took care of that. Had to change the tape on that thing. All right, where I was. Cain dwelt in the land of wandering and knew his wife, which was one of his relatives. All right. And it says here, it must be remembered that Adam and Eve have many children, girls as well as boys, and their first son was Enoch. Just think about this for a while. Now, we're going to get into this a little bit later. He had a son right down here below on the bottom. I guess it's about, what page are you on now? 24. Does you have number 25 on that one also?
Yeah.
Does it have the Zeth and the Cain line? All right. Now let's look at this. The devil always imitates God, doesn't he? Just think about this for a while. This is what the rabbis also wrote. The rabbi said that God created man, and he created his race of man, and then the angels, through Lucifer, created their race, which was the Nephilim, they said. A substitute and a mimic of God. And how strong were they? Great big dudes. In the land of Canaan, all right, who was the guy that David whipped over there? The little boy David whipped, Goliath. Now, how many? There were weird people. Now, if these were some of the same type of people that these Nephilim were over there, they had how many fingers and toes?
Six.
Six fingers and toes. It's really weird. Six fingers and toes. And they were great big dudes. And there were six of them all. How many? Five of them all together. He had four brothers, and there was Goliath. And how many stones did David pick up from that little book Kidron?
Five
stones. How many? Five. He picked up five stones. What was he going to do? He was not only kill Goliath, but he was going to kill all the other ones at the same time. But what happened when he killed Goliath? They were routed. Evidently, they killed them all anyway. Just think about that. Now, these could have been some of this bunch, too. Maybe. That's guessing. That's conjecture. All right? Enoch. What does the name Enoch mean in Hebrew? Now just listen. Here is their first son, so what did they name him? Who did God translate? Who was the first person that was raptured? His name was Enoch, wasn't it? What does Enoch mean? It means teacher. Write that down, teacher. Now, here we have people learning about God, and we have people learning about demonology. He's a teacher also, so we're going to see the different ones. There were seven generations of Cain and 10 generations of Seth before the flood. Seven generations of Cain and 10 generations of Seth. Seth, over here, number A. Put down Seth. Number two is Enos. E-N-O-S. Number C is Canaan. C-A-I-N-A-N. And then we have D is Mahalel. M-A-H-A-L-A-L-E-E-L. And then we have Jared. That's under Zeth's line, Jared. J-A-R-E-D. And then we have the seventh one. Actually, the seventh man from Adam was Enoch. Enoch. All right. And then we have Methuselah. M-E-T-H-U-L-S-E-L-A-H. And then H is Lamech. L-A-M-E-C-H. And then we have Noah.
He lived for 777 years.
Yeah. All right. Lamech. Yeah, Lamech. And then we have Noah. Noah. N-O-A-H. And then we have Shem. Is J. Now let's go over to Cain. Cain's line. Cain. Cain's line. The first one is Cain. What? That's over across. It says there's a Zeth line. It says Zeth here, and then Cain over here on this side. Okay. Zeth and Cain, the two different lines. Now there's 1, 2, 3, or A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, and then on the other one we start with the A. It's Cain. Cain. All right. Now, Cain means what? Let's compare these. Cain means God. All right, go over to Zeth. What does Zeth mean? Substitute. Oh, now we have Enoch. Enoch means teacher. That was Cain's first son. Back over to Enosh. Enosh means dying or short-lived. Then go back down to Canaan. Canaan means purchaser or redeemer. All right. And then go back over to the next one over there, down below Enoch, is what? Irad. Irad. And that means city of witness. Just look and see what they're saying here. Look and see what these names mean now. All right? And then we have Mahalel. That means the splendor of God. The splendor of God. And by the way, the first 10 names in the faith line predict the coming of the Messiah and what he would do. And then these other seven names over here, they talk about the battle. Now, Mahajel means God is fighting or God is being fought. God is in conflict. Jared means poured out or to descend. Methushael means man of the dark, a murderer. All right, Enoch. Of course, in the faith line, it means teacher, and he was the one that was raptured and taken up to God. He did not see death. All right? And all of these, by the way, Zeth lived 912 years, and Enosh 905, Cain 910, Mahalalel 895, Jared 962 years, and Enoch 365 years, and he was gone. And then we have Methuselah, and he lived 969 years, Methuselah. And then Lamech, how many years? 777. And Noah, 950 years. And Shem, about 600 years. Now Cain. Then we have, in Cain's line, we have Cain, Gotten. We have Enoch, teacher. Irak, city of witness, and Mahayel, God is fighting or God is combating. And then Methuselah, man of the dark or murderer. And then his son is called Lamech. And let's go to Genesis, the fourth chapter, and let's look a little bit about Lamech and see what this guy did. All right? Genesis chapter 4. Genesis, the fourth chapter. What does the book of Genesis, what does Genesis mean?
Beginnings.
All right, means beginnings. Let's go over here. And about verse 9, 4 and verse... well, let's go up. Let's go and just get the whole bunch of guys in here. 4 and verse 16. Who's got that? 4:16. Brother David.
And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod.
Okay, the land of what? Come on, guys. Wandering. All right, east of Eden. All right. In the east of where Eden was, the garden. All Okay? And number 17.
And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch, and he builded a city, and he called the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch.
All right, so he's, and this is teacher. What do you think they're teaching over there? All right, now Brother Randall, are you right there also? Yeah. Number 18.
Now Enoch was born Irad, and Irad became father of Methuselah, and Methuselah became the father of Methuselah.
Now let's look at Lamech here. Now what does Lamech start doing? Are you there, Robert?
Mm-hmm.
All right. What does not now 19? What does Lamech do?
Lamech married two women.
All right, Brother Bill. Did you say you took one of your wives, or what was that a while ago earlier?
You know, some guys just don't learn.
This is the first bigamist in the Bible. He's a polygamist. All right? All right, not only is he a polygamist, what else does he do here? Let's find out about this, Brother Robert.
One named Ada and the other Zillah.
Uh-huh.
Ada gave birth to Jabal.
Okay.
He was the father of those who lived in tents and raised livestock.
All right.
His brother.
He was nomadic then, wasn't he? And he raised livestock.
His brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all who play the harp and flute.
Okay, he's a musician. Now here we have, in this group, we have blacksmiths. We have people of great invention. And they're starting to play music and all kinds of stuff. Here, I don't think it's godly music that they're playing. All right? Huh? Rock and roll stars? Number 22.
Zillah also had a son, Tubal-Cain, who forged all kinds of tools out of bronze and iron. Tubal-Cain's sister was Naamah.
Mm-hmm.
Lamech said to his wives, Ada and Zillah, listen to me. Wives of Lamech.
Now, he was singing a song. This is a ballad that he's singing to her. This is a ballad. And it's a boasting ballad that he's singing to her. Here's the first cowboy ballad, I guess.
Wives of Lamech, hear my words. I have killed a man for wounding me, a young man for injuring me.
He has murdered. Not only has he taken more than one wife, but he is a murderer. And he's boasting about it. Now, let's stop right there. Okay. Now, first of all, before the flood, men were not given animals to eat, were they? And the book of Enoch says that they began to eat animals and to drink their blood and all of this stuff. And God had told them not to do this. The animals were their companions, not their food. He says that these people began to kill animals and eat animals. And they began to hunt, and they were mighty hunters. The men of the dark. He was a killer and a hunter. All right? That's what he was. He was a killer and a hunter. And then he said, I have killed a man. Not only were they starting to kill people or animals, but they started killing men. And the book of Enoch says that they were eating people. They were cannibals. Now, I don't know whether all of that's true in the book of Enoch, but I'm just telling you. If Cain is avenged sevenfold, Lamech shall be 70 sevenfold. Oh, now let's go look at what these names mean over here under the Cain's line. Look at it again. Mahajel, that means that God is fighting or God is in conflict. Methuselah, man of the dark, the hunter, the killer. Lamech begins to what? What does he do?
Destroyer.
He's a destroyer. He's a destroyer. Just look at that. Lamech over here is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's what Lamech means. In the faith line, we have Lamech, which is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And who's that talking about? Who's that describing in the future? But who? God. Jesus is going to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords, isn't it? All right? But who is going to be...
Lamech was a destroyer. He was a killer.
But remember that what God does, when God does something, the devil duplicates it or imitates it, doesn't he? All right? He imitates it so they have godly names in their life. But now, during the tribulation period, who's going to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords for a short while? Who? The Antichrist, isn't he? Just think about that for a while. Think about these different contrasts. Jabal. Jabal. What does Jabal mean? Moving. Constantly moving. Look at what it says about Jabal. Over here. What about Jabal? What did Jabal do? Adah gave birth to Jabal, and he was the father of those who move a lot. He was wanderer. He was a nomad. Okay? In tents and had livestock. So his name means mover. Someone that's moving. And then how about Jubal? What does Jubal mean? Anybody know what the Jubal means? Jubal means flowing. Flowing. All right? Flowing. And then how about Tubal-Cain? All right? Jubal-Cain. All right? What does that mean?
Toolmaker.
Well, he was a blacksmith, wasn't he? All right? They were blacksmiths. They were doing... But it means flowing from Cain is what it means. Flowing from Cain. Flowing from Cain. And then the last one is Naaman. Naaman is a pretty name. It means pleasant or lovely. Someone easy to get along with. And she was a girl descendant. All right? Just think about that for a while. This was a girl descendant now. And now I turn my page over. Are you on the next page? Is yours on page what?
25.
All right. 25. Do you have any questions so far? Any questions? Got any questions? So far, do you have any questions? Do you have questions, young lady?
No, I don't.
Yeah. Have you learned anything?
Yes.
All right. Number 26. In about 6 or 7 generations, what important description is given of the daughters of men? They were fair. They were beautiful. All right. Number 27. Beautiful girl. The book of Enoch will tell you, if it's correct, that this is when women began to use makeup. And he tells which angel invented the makeup and the eye paint and the eyeshadow and all this stuff. Now this is, remember that this book goes back, as far as we know, this book goes back to 300 and something B.C. before Christ. And this is what the rabbis, they taught all these years. All right? Now, number 27, Methuselah was the oldest recorded man, and his death is about what? How old was he?
99.
That's it. 969 years. It's also marked what important Bible event? The flood. What does Methuselah mean? When he is dead, it shall come to pass. Now, who preached for 300 years before Noah? Enoch. Where do we have evidence of that? In the book of Jude. Quote, said that he preached. And what did he preach? He preached the coming judgment. That God was going to destroy the earth by a flood. And he even talked about the second coming of the Lord. It jumped past the first. Well, he tells about the son of woman, which is the Messiah. All right, 969 years, and in the very year that Methuselah died, the flood became.
What's his name again?
Methuselah. When he's dead, it shall come to pass. The word dart or killing is in that word, Methuselah. Remember we had the word over there in the other one. It meant dart, killing. He's going to die in that year. The year that he dies, it shall come to pass. In that year, the flood came. It was a prophecy. Now, who was his father? Huh? Who named him?
Enoch.
Who was the one that was preaching the coming judgment?
Noah.
Enoch. And so he named his child, when he's dead, it shall come to pass. What would come to pass?
The judgment.
All right. Now do you understand all this? Is it starting to be a little clearer to you? Now, I didn't mean to confuse you with the two different theories of the lines of the Son of Man and of angels. I just want you to have information. Now, you're going to have to work that out yourself. Because I don't have much of a sister and demo.
What is his position? What did he fill in?
Like I said, there is more evidence that they were angels than that they were the sons of God, the line, the faith line, and the other. There is more evidence on that side than there is on the other. But it could be... I don't... There is more historical evidence and even written evidence that these were angels that came down and left the state of God and cohabited with women and brought on a monstrosity of a race on this earth. Because we have duplications. We have God doing something and Satan imitating him, don't we? So it would work right into that if that's what happened. I'm not saying that's what happened, but it could have. All right? You know, when we see Noah, we can ask him. And Enoch. All right? And we'll know for sure. All right. Number 28 says, give reasons why the sons of God does not refer to angels. And we've already discussed that. The word giant, which means fallen ones, is what it literally means. And then number 30, give description of the time just before the flood. They ate, drank, and they married wives and were given in marriage. And they were just going on. The idea is that, you know what? Drinking and eating and getting married is not a sin. It really isn't. Drinking and eating, I mean, today at lunchtime, you're going to drink and eat, aren't you? And I'm not talking about booze, but I'm talking about drinking and eating. And you're going to talk about somebody's going to get married in your life somewhere. One of your relatives is getting married somewhere. And that's what we do. What it means is that they went on with their everyday life just absolutely ignoring the judgment that was coming. They ignored the judgment. And that's what people do today. We ought to be very interested. We live in the lamplink between the old church age and what's going to come as the tribulation period. We're right there in the middle of that. We are at one of the most exciting periods of time in history. And we're eating, drinking, and getting married and giving in marriage. Well, we ought to be thinking about the Lord. All right. Thank you for your attention. We're going to start on the Noah and the Ark. And Brother David, you're going to be our prayer guy. And remember, those that weren't here earlier, we're planning on having a dinner at my house on Gosford Road. We have these little maps. If you want to come out there next Saturday at 12:30, we'll be looking forward to having you there. I'll get a hold of you this week or whatever. Tell you one way or the other. We're having also a class at 4:30 in the afternoon in this room, and then at 6 o'clock on Wednesday night, we'll be here also teaching the book of 1 John. Brother Dave.
Does someone out here have the prayer list in their hand?
Okay.